Last time we started discussing the Gemara and the Kama that Kesem and Aleph. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Zeira, who says the mitzvah ad shlish. By a mitzvah, we go ad shlish. What does that mean, the mitzvah ad shlish? So the havamina of the Gemara is that it means maybe you have to spend shlish besa. You have to spend a third of your nefasim, a third of your money for a mitzvah. Gemara finds that very difficult, because if that's the case, then if you get three mitzvahs, then it's over. All of your bank account is going to be used up. Gemara says, no, Rabbi Zera never meant to say that you have to spend a third of your money for a mitzvah. That's not what he meant. Rather, he meant behidah mitzvah, ad shlish b'mitzvah. That when it comes to the rule of hidah mitzvah, you're supposed to be mahadir a mitzvah, so that's until a third of the value of the mitzvah. Okay? We'll get to the details later, but that's the simple pshat. So we started talking about that first chelek, the havamina of the Gemara, the first stage. That Rabbi Zera meant to say, the mitzvah at shlish is that you have to spend until shlish beso for a mitzvah. So we pointed out Tosfos on the Yom Beis quotes the Gemara Ksubis, that there's an old halacha that Hamavaz Beis, Al Yavaz Beis Yosem Echomesh, someone who's going to use up money for mitzvah, so it shouldn't use more than a fifth. So it sounds like quite a bit less than a third, right? A fifth is not a third. But clearly you're not supposed to use all of your nechassim for a mitzvah. So the shear seems like a fifth. So the Rashba asked, why is there damim for a mitzvah? Why is there any value placed on a mitzvah? Why should you have to use all your money for a mitzvah? Mitzvah is priceless, so why should you have to use it completely? So we mentioned that that some are of the opinion, I found later, they quote from the Pistre Tshuva. Pistre Tshuva brings some achronim who want to suggest that the reason why you're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of your nechassim for a mitzvah is because if you do so, then you might not be able to fulfill other mitzvahs in the future. Because if you're out of cash, so then you're not going to be able to fulfill mitzvahs. So it's similar to the idea of chalal olav shabbos achas kadesh yishmer shabbos es harve. That sometimes it's kedai to mechal shabbos to someone else, to makom pikuach nefesh, that individual will be able to mekayim mitzvah shabbos many times. Yeah, there's a certain value, there's a balance over here. Of course, every mitzvah is very important, but if you're going to overdo it with this mitzvah, then you're not going to be able to do other mitzvahs. So the rule then is that you're not supposed to spend too much on this particular mitzvah. But that's not what the Rashba says. The Rashba quotes the Ravid, who says that the reason why you're not supposed to spend more than chomesh is because you might become poor. And if you become poor, then you'll push yourself onto the tzibur. What does that mean? L'chore, it means that you're not supposed to be matriach tzibur, to support you to do mitzvahs, right? If you use too much of your money for the mitzvah, so then you'll be matriach tzibur to support you. It's not appropriate to do that. That's one element that the Ravid says. One point. Then he also says that oni is kenisa. The poverty is like death. Oni is chosher kemeis. So if oni is chosher kemeis, not literally but figuratively, if oni is chosher kemeis, the person is not mechuyu to be moser nefesh, so to speak, for a mitzvah. Gimel Averis, and then he has to be Moser Nefesh. But for all other mitzvahs, you're not supposed, there's no chiyuv to be Moser Nefesh. One is not supposed to be Moser Nefesh in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So this is like being Moser Nefesh. If a person is going to become poor, and he uses his money, so much money, more than a fifth of his money, so he might become poor. If he becomes poor, then it's like Misa. So he's not supposed to be Moser Nefesh in order to fulfill mitzvahs. So that's why it's appropriate not to spend more than a fifth. That's what the Ravid says. So there are three approaches we have. Right? That either one shouldn't spend too much because we want to have the opportunity to do other mitzvahs in the future, or you shouldn't be matriach and tzibur, or that ani is chashi kemeis, and one is not mechuyav to be moser nefesh in order to fulfill mitzvahs. The Bach quotes this Ravid to try to explain the Gemara that we mentioned yesterday. Tosfos says that the Gemara in Sukkah points out Rabbi Gamliel what an esrog for a thousand is. That strange, very, very novel kind of idea, right? Rabbi Gamliel spent a lot of money on one esrog, and there was a whole discussion in the Gemara. He gave it to the Tanoim, Masharam Nasla Hachzir. It's a whole thing. So why did he do that? So Taisa says the Sukkah Choshev Le Rabusa. The Rabbi Gamliel Shekana Esrog Be'Alavzuz. The Gemara in Sukkah says it's a Rabusa. It's a Chiddush. Rabbi Gamliel was machmer on himself, it would seem. What does he mean that the Gemara in Sukkah says this? The Gemara quotes the case. Gemara Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes the case, and then it says, Why does the Bryce have to say that he bought it for 1,000 zuz? So he bought it for whatever price he bought it for, but what do you have to make a big deal out of it? No, diach hakama mitzvos chavivos alei. Teach you how much mitzvos were chaviv on the tanoi. Meaning he was mach. He loved the mitzvah so much that he spent even elef zuz for the mitzvah. Elef zuz, that's an enormous amount of money. So, from Tosis, you get the impression Rabbi Gamliel was machmer on himself. The Rosh has a little bit of a different version, a little bit of a different perish, I should say, in the Gemara. Rosh and Siman Zayin. But we'll see for greater detail later, but at the end of the Rosh, Gemara Choshev Guzma al Rabbi Gamliel Shayanasi Yisrael, Mashanasan Elof Suz Be'esra Ge'echad. Rosh says that it's a guzma. The Gemara Choshev Guzma, the Gemara exaggerated a little bit. Rabbi Gamliel spent a lot of money on his esrog. That's all the Gemara means. Doesn't mean he spent 1,000 zuz. The Gemara makes a guzma. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi Yisrael. He spent a lot of money on his esrog. But it's a guzma ba'alma, says the Rosh. What does that mean, it's a guzma ba'alma? So how much did he spend? If he didn't spend 1,000 zuz, so what's the Gemara telling us about this? He spent a lot of money, but how much did he spend? Did he spend more than a chomesh, or did he spend less than a chomesh? So comes the Bach and says that if he spent less than a chomesh, then what's the chiddush? Everyone has to spend less than a chomesh. So there is no chiddush to that. So even according to the Rosh, Rabbi Gamliel may have not spent a full 1,000 zuz. It might be a guzma ba'alma, but he still must have spent more than a fifth, because if he didn't spend more than a fifth, what's the chiddush by him? Everyone else has to spend up until a fifth anyway. So it comes out that the Russian Tosis are not really arguing. The question is it a guzma ba'alma that he spent so much money? Tosis is willing to concede maybe Rabbi Gamliel Taka spent $1,000. It's quite a bit more than $1,000. Right? So Tosis is willing to concede maybe Rabbi Gamliel did spend 1,000 zuz. But the Rosh says it's impossible. It's just so much money, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. It's just a guzma ba'alma. But he still spent more than a fifth, according to the Rosh, claims the Bach, because if not, then what's the Chiddush of the Gemara Bichlal? Everyone has to spend up until a Chomesh. So, for the Bach, so how's it possible? How was he allowed to be Bach himself? Doesn't the Gemara say, I'm a Vazbez, Al Yivazbez, Yosem Chomesh? Don't do it. The Gemara says, don't do it. That's the Takara Sacham. You shouldn't spend more than a fifth. Rabbi Gamliel is above the Gemara. He doesn't follow halachas in the Gemara. That's the Takara Sacham. So, how is he allowed to be machman himself? That's the problem. The Bach is basically asking both on Tosis and the Rosh, because even the Rosh, who says it was guzma ba'alma, he still implies that he must learn l'chora that Rabbi Gamliel spent more than a chomesh, because if not, then what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush l'gemar? So to that, the Bach says, look at the reason for why you're not supposed to spend more than a chomesh. If you have the handout, if you got it in Seder, look on with me. The Bach writes like this. The last one on the line is Al. It's the fourth wide line, the fourth widest line. Lo kasha hech ovar Rabbi Gamliel la masha amru al yivaz beiz yotzim echomish. The ikla memer came in the time of lo havi yela shlo yavali le oni viyapal atzmo al atzibur the nasi lekel amecha shlo hachi. The belav hachi called srochov shal nasi mutal al hatzibur v'af leha ashira. The Bach says that if the whole reason why you're not allowed to spend more than chomesh is so that a person won't become poor and he'll be mapel atzmo al atzibur, by a nasi there's no chashash for that, because all of the tzrachim of the nasi belav hachi are placed on the tzibur, right? It's the chiv of the tzibur to support the nasi and even to make him wealthy, because that's the kavod atzibur. It's a kavod Yisrael that the nasi is a wealthy man. He quotes a drasha. The drasha by the Kohen Gadol is Hakohen Hagadol. What does that mean? So the Gemara in Yuma says, Gadleu Mishal Echav. You're supposed to be Medgadel the Kohen Gadol. Make the Kohen Gadol wealthy, Mishal Echav, from the Mammon HaTzibur. So the Nasi has the same din. The Tzibur of Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Masha, the Nasi. They're supposed to make the Nasi wealthy, because that's the Kavod HaTzibur. So says the Bach, the whole Tamad of it, the reason why you're not supposed to spend more than Chomesh doesn't apply. Because if the whole idea is that we're afraid he'll throw himself on the Tzibur, he'll become poor, and then the Tzibur's going to have to support him. The Tzibur has to support the Nasi anyway. So just to clarify, to explain a little bit more, if the idea is you're not supposed to be Matriach the Tzibur, if someone becomes an Ani, he'll be Matriach the Tzibur to support him, it's not a tircha for the tzibur to support the nasi. It's not even a tircha for the tzibur to make the nasi wealthy. It's important to make the nasi wealthy. It's important for the nasi to spend a lot of money on his dalaminim so that the tzibur gets a coverage from that. So that's not a tircha on the tzibur. That's what the tzibur is supposed to do. So therefore it's permissible. Rav Gamliel was the exception to the rule. Since he was the nasi, he was allowed to spend more than chomesh because that's a kavod tzibur. So the whole time adover, if the time is based on the ravid, time is based on the rabbi that someone is going to become poor, Dr. Bach, that doesn't apply to the nasi. He'll become poor and he'll be mapal atzmo al atzibur. That's not true by the nasi, because the nasi always is dependent on the tzibur. The tzibur is supposed to provide him and supposed to make him wealthy, so then it's appropriate. So that could be the pshat according to the Tosis and the Rush. But then the Bach quotes from the Ran and Sukkah. The Ran and Sukkah says Rabbi Gamliel was different. You know why? Because he was an usher gadol. Forget about whether he was a nasi being supported by the tzibur. No, he was independently wealthy. So because he was independently wealthy, says the Ran, he was allowed to spend more. Mashma dafilu l'mitzvah overes ke'esek v'lula v'ena mochi v'losis afilu shlish mamone. You don't have to spend shlish even on a mitzvah overes, right? Probably not more than the fifth. Miu says the Ran, kol chad b'chad l'chui av liten kufu mamone k'de l'kai mitzvah sasei k'rav an amiyo sh'lo k'ach esur b'elav zuz. Even though people are not mechuyav to spend more than a third or more than a fifth, whichever gemara you're going with, right? Not mechuyav to spend more than a third, but kol echad ve'echad lefum mamone, according to his bank account. Someone is very wealthy, so then maybe it's an inyan for the wealthy person to spend a little bit more for the esrei. More than the fifth. Certainly more than a third. We're going to talk about the hidden mitzvah, shlish b'mitzvah. Someone who's an usher, according to the Ran in Sukkah, someone who's an usher should spend more than a shlish. He can afford it. It's not gonna be difficult for him. So maybe it is a hidden mitzvah to spend more. Maybe even more than a fifth. Up the Ran, Rabbi Gamliel was an usher. He was independently wealthy. That's why he spent more than a fifth. The average person who's not so wealthy is not supposed to spend more than a fifth. Okay, so these are the different approaches. That either he was machmer on himself because of kavod hatzibur, he was a nasi and his halach is different. Or he was machmer upon himself because he was an usher. And for an usher, maybe it's mutter to spend more than a third of the mitzvah, and maybe it's even mutter to spend more than a fifth of a person's nechus. This is point number one. Questions? Yes, Dani.
Proportionate
that if you spend more than X amount, you don't have many other things. So that fifth is still a lot of money, even for the usher. And then the fifth is a lot of money, yes. But if the usher is a billionaire, I'm not saying he has to spend the fifth, but if the usher is a billionaire, he's spending $1 million, not that much money for the usher. Right? So, you know, it's all a function of how much money you have. So even if you're spending a tremendous amount of money, but relatively speaking, it's nothing. Even if it's a great percent, even if you spend $100 million, it's still not that much money. I mean, it's a lot of money, but his bank account's still going to be pretty big. And I wouldn't mind to be left with the $900 million. Whatever. Yes.
Don't you know, in this case, have to adhere to the rule of only able to give a tenth of your money?
A tenth of your money. That's a very, very important point. Some of the Rishonim say that, look, we find the shear by tztaka is maisa ksav. By the way, maisa ksafim is not a chiyuv, it's a minig. A person wants to give maisa ksafim from income that they have. You should say b'li neder. It's not a chiyuv. So we don't want to say it's now a neder and you have to do it. Say, I accept upon myself to do it this year, but I'm not necessarily accepting. It's not a chiyuv. But that's the shiur that's given, that a person should give tzedakah of maisa. That's the minig, that's what Yaakov Avinu says, right? He's going to give maisa of the nechasim that he acquires. So the question is, what's chomesh? I thought we said ma'aser. What's chomesh? So someone has suggested, Mishnah Berurah I think has this, that tzedakah might be different, right? Because tzedakah is not a one-time mitzvah. Right? Who says that the aniyim are necessarily here? You know, you're giving tzedakah in the event that you'll find an aniyim, in the event that someone will need it. So it's not a mitzvah overis. It's not the same as esrog. And even if the aniyim are here, it's not a mitzvah that's only mutal on you. It's a mitzvah of the tzibur. It's not the same. But if a person has a mitzvah that's mutal on him, and it's a time-dependent mitzvah, so then it could be that you have to spend more than maisim. Maybe you have to spend until a fifth, and that's the shear of a fifth.
Okay.
The Rashba adds another point. We talked about this a little bit yesterday also. Rashba says that this idea that you're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of the nechassim, that's only true about mitzvah saseh, but not mitzvah lo saseh. By mitzvah saseh, since you're over b'shevi al tasim, he adds this point. Right? Since you're over b'shevi al tasim, only passively, so then you're not supposed to spend more than a chomesh. But by mitzvah lo saseh, you're supposed to spend your entire bank account. And that's how the Ramah paskins. Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Lulav and Siman Tav Resh Nun Vav Sif Aleph says that by mitzvah lo saseh, you talk after spend your entire bank account. So frek the maritz chiyus from the moruk tzia. How can that be? We know that esim are more chomer than lo saseh, as he says. How do we know that? We know there's a rule that aseh is docha lo saseh. If I have a mitzvah aseh and a lo saseh, I do the aseh and I'm docha lo saseh. Mila b'tzaras. Let's say a person has the baby has tzaras b'makom hamila. I can cut off the mila. I can cut off the arla, even if I'm going to be mitar the neged tzaras. Aye, but there's a lot to be mitar the neged tzaras. Okay, so there's a mitzvah say to do the bris mila. There's a lot to be mitar the neged tzaras shalav b'koyin. So that's one of the makoros that we said that asay is docha lo saseh. The asay pushes off the lo saseh. So frek the moruk tzia. Asay is docha lo saseh. If asay is mochamer than a lo saseh, so how can you tell me when it comes to spending money that for an asay only spend up to 50, for a lo saseh give up the whole bank account? For nafochu, right? For the asay I should give up the whole bank account. And if I'm not going to give up the whole bank account for the asay, why should I give up the whole bank account for the lo saseh? It's not pile ploy. That's his cash. Of the Maritz Chiyas, no, he missed the point. Asay docha lo saseh doesn't mean that the asay is mochamer than the lo saseh. Look at the Ramban in Parshas Bo, he says. I'm not sure if it's the Ramban in Parshas Bo. There is a Ramban in Parshas Yisro that talks about this issue. He doesn't say quite what the Maritz Chiyas says that he says, but he quotes enough of it that I think that's the Ramban that he was referring to. Page 4. Right, the Ramban about the mitzvahs kiddush, right? Zocher b'shem Shabbos l'kaddishin. So zocher b'shem v'dibur echanem, right? Zocher b'shem v'dibur echanem. There are two parts of Shabbos: there's the mitzvah saseh, the zocher, and the shomer, the mitzvah lo saseh. Ramban has a meridik a piece. You really have to read this. This is Ramban Machshava. It's Ramban Halacha too, but a very important Ramban. He says. Midas zocher ramzo b'mitzvah seh v'vayotzei mimidas ha'ava v'hu l'midas rachanim. Mitzvah seh zocher is a midah is midas ahava. Ahava Hashem. Ki ha'osa mitzvah adonav ohuv lo v'adonav merachim olav. Someone who does a mitzvah seh, someone who does the bidding of his master, so there's an ahava generated between the eved and the adon. And the adon has a midah of rachanim to the eved. Midas shomer b'mitzvahs lo saseh v'hu l'midas hadin v'yotze mimidas hayira. Shomer is midas hadin, is yira shamayim. Ki anishmar me'asos dover hara be'enei adonav yori oso. Someone who holds back from doing something that the adon doesn't want him to do, that's a yira. Dr. Rambam v'lachayin, mitzvahs haseh gedola mimitzvahs lo saseh k'mo she ha'ava gedola miyira. Ava is greater than yira, he says. Love is greater than fear. Ki hamakayim va'osa begufo uvemamono ritzon adonav hu gadol mehanishmar me'asos hara be'enav. Someone who does begufo mamono with his body, with his money, who does the ratzon of his adon me'ava is greater than someone who holds back from doing what his adon doesn't want him to do. Ava is greater than yira, says the Rambam. V'lekach amru the osi esi v'dochi lo saseh. That's why Chazal say that in Ashrei is docha lo saseh. Why? What's he saying? Av is greater than Yira, so therefore, better, if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah say, but you're going to violate a lo saseh, so better to do what? Better to do the mitzvah say, even though you'll violate a lo saseh. But I don't understand. But if you violate a lo saseh, then there's a lack of Yira. Yeah, but since Ava is greater than Yira, better to demonstrate Ava than to be concerned that by doing the lo saseh, it's going to show that you lack Yira. That's basically how the Ramban is explaining. Better to show an Ava, better to show a love, better to do the mitzvah say than to be nizer on the lo sase. Av is greater than yir. Umipnei zeh, says the Ramban, yihi ha'onesh b'mitzvah lo sase gadol, va'osim bo din kego malkas l'misa, v'ein osim bo din b'mitzvah sase klal ela b'moradin. When it comes to giving a din, when it comes to punishing someone, who do we punish more? He says we punish the one who violates the lo sase more than the one who's mevatel from the mitzvah say. We punish the person who's mevatel mitzvah, say, only b'mardin, only if he refuses to do the mitzvah. K'mo lulav etzitzis eini osa, sukkah eini osa. She said, Hedrin, how you makin oso, at she kabel olav lasos, o at she teitze nafsho. The Gemara in Ksuba says, the makin oso at she teitze nafsho, if a person doesn't want to do a mitzvah, say. But that's only b'mardin, if he says, sukkah eini osa, I'm not going to do this. Because if he's morid, if he does it lahachis, so then Bezdin can punish him and hit him and beat him up until he does the mitzvah, or achatetzi nafshal. But if he's just misbatal from the mitzvah saseh, we know that he was mivatal the mitzvah saseh, wasn't bemered, we're not going to punish him. There's no malchus, there's no misa for bitul mitzvah saseh. It's not a good thing. A person has to tshuva for that, but it's not like a lo saseh where there's actually a punishment for the lo saseh, for violating lo saseh. Why? What's the difference? So the Ramban seems to be saying, it's based on the old yisod, that ahava is greater than yira. Av is more important than Yira. But yet, Yira, if a person violates, it's not that he's negating the Yira of his Adon because he has Ahava to demonstrate. But Stam, if he negates the Yira of the Adon, that's a negative. That's a much greater negative because he's doing something bad. It's not just that he's not doing something good. He's doing something bad. So if he's doing the mitzvah saseh instead of the lo saseh, so then the ava is greater than yira. It's better to do the mitzvah saseh because to demonstrate ava is a more important value. So even if your shemayim is going to be violated if he does the lo saseh, it's not a violation because the need to show the ava is so much greater that it trumps. But if you're not doing one for the other, if it's not that there's a conflict between the two, then the Ramban says that it makes sense that if a person violates Yira, if he does a Losa saying, then he should be punished, then he gets Malkus and Misa. Because that's much worse, because he did a negative for no reason. If he just abstains from doing Ava, from doing a Mitzvah say, that's not as great. Why not? That's what the Maharet Zchias is saying. L'chor, what the Ramban is telling us is that not doing Ava is just a Shevi Altas. It's just passively holding back from doing something. So that's not as bad as actively doing something negative. That's how he's learning the Rambam. Yes? Isn't it what?
Isn't his question informed by his answer? He's using his answer.
It's not. The question is not even his question. It's someone else's question. He's trying to use the Rambam to answer the question.
So then I'll ask him a question. The Rambam is the Rambam said there is a reason why we do this. Yaseh is simply, it's a passive act.
Okay, you saw the Rajba. We pointed out the comment of the Rajba. So we learned of the Rajba in a certain way. But if you wouldn't have those words in the Rajba, you wouldn't necessarily know. Right? So that's the question. Are those words in the Rajba, the fact that the violation of mitzvah say is passive, is that really the key to the Rajba? Or is the Rajba just saying there's a chilek between aseis and los aseis? So the kasha of the Morak Tzia is assuming that, no, it's because lo saseh is a mochom. That's what he was assuming. So he has a lo saseh is a mochom. So why is saseh docha lo saseh? So comes the Maharet Zchias and says, no, the Ramban doesn't say like that. He doesn't even say, look at the Rashba, by the way. Who says he had the Rashba? We have the Rashba. I'm not sure that he had the Rashba. Once we see the Rashba, so we see that the Maharet Zchias is yesod, is really licked in the verta from the Rashba. But it could be that the Maharet Zchias didn't even have the Rashba. So he's trying to figure out what's the chilek between the lo saseh and the mitzvah saseh. He suggests a different mahalat, that maybe one is more chamer than the other. So comes the Maharet Zchias and says, hey, that's not the pshat. Ramban says that it's because aseis are b'shevi al tasa, lo saseh is a b'kum v'aseh, and that's why there's a difference. This idea that the reason why you shouldn't spend more than a chomesh on a mitzvah saseh is because it's b'shevi al tasa. So this is what the Chasam Sofer writes in his Hagolos and Shulchan Aruch. And he says that there's a nafkamina lemaisa. Nafkamina lemaisa, there could be mitzvah say that you violate b'kum v'aseh, and there could be lo saseh that you violate b'shevi al tasa. So if the yesod is not a chiluk between aseis and lo saseis in chumras hadavar, but rather the chiluk is whether you do it b'shevi al tasa or b'kum v'aseh. So it could come out that if you do a mitzvah, if you violate a mitzvah say b'kum v'aseh, right, then you'd have to spend all of your money not to violate that mitzvah say. And if you'll be over on a lo saseh b'shevi al tasa, then you wouldn't have to spend more than a chomesh not to violate that lo saseh. And he gives different examples. He says, l'moshol, to eat perishvias. To eat perishvias is an isser aseh. Isser to eat perishvias. No. There's no Issa Tei Perei Shvi'is on Shemitah. But Tei Perei Shvi'is after the Zman Habir, after Shemitah, meaning there is a time when you're not allowed to eat the Perei Shvi'is anymore. Once the fruit is no longer available in the field for the chayas, so then you're not allowed to eat them in the home. You have to take them out of your home. Some Rishonim hold it. You have to destroy them. Your Pasha can't eat them. So Machlokes Rishonim, what the concept of beer, Perei Shvi'is, means. But there is this concept of beer. One is not allowed to eat the Perei Shvi'is after the Zman Habir. So why not? The answer is the Pasuk says in Chumash. Right? The Pasuk says, V'haysa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'ochla. That the Shemitah should be for you for eating. So we learn from that. It should be la'ochla until a certain point in time. But after the pears are no longer available for the chai in the field, it's not la'ochla. La'ochla is not a lo saseh. There's no lav there. It's just a mitzvah saseh. You're supposed to eat the Perei Shvi'is b'kedusha. But from that we see that there are certain times that you're not supposed to eat the Perei Shvi'is. And when you're not supposed to eat it, then there's an issa. The issa that emerges from that word, from the asay, that there's a mitzvah to eat the Perei Shvi'is, but only when you're supposed to. So says the Chasam Sofer, if you eat the Perei Shvi'is after Zman Habir, you're violating a mitzvah saseh la'ochla, b'kum v'asay. You're not supposed to be eating the Perei Shvi'is shalo b'zmano, so you're violating the asay, b'kum v'asay. So if a person doesn't have any money, he doesn't have too much money, right? But he can buy other fruits, he can buy other food. So he's mechuyev to buy other food. How much money? Let's say he has to spend the chomish of his nechassim. He has these Perei Shvi'is, and he's going to have to spend a fifth of his nechassim to buy other food to eat instead of the Perei Shvi'is. Is he mechuyev to do that? It's up to Chasam Sofer. Yes. Yes. Because since he'll have to violate this mitzvah saseh, b'kum v'aseh, then he has to be willing to spend his entire bank account not to violate this mitzvah saseh. But it's only an aseh, it's not a lo saseh. No, because there's no chilik between aseh and lo saseh. The chilik is between passive as opposed to active. This is one example of an afkamina that he gives. He gives a few others. But that's the yesod, that if the chilik is between shevi al tas as opposed to kum v'aseh, then it's all a function of how you're going to violate the mitzvah. It's not a function of whether it's aseh or lo saseh. The question is, how is the mitzvah going to be violated? Okay. This is the second chelik of the Meshbah. This is all what the Rishonim and the Achronim are saying on the first segment of the Sukkah. Comes the Gemara and says, but that's not Rabbi Zeir's halach. That's not what he's saying. He's not telling us that you have to spend a certain amount of your nechassim. You don't have to spend shlish beso. Then we learn that you don't have to spend more than a chomesh, except if you're an usher, according to the Ran and Sukkah. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is hidden mitzvah. Behidda mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. But a person has to be willing to spend, to hit the mitzvah, he has to be willing to spend shlish b'mitzvah, a third of the mitzvah. Vos meintas. What does that mean? What is shlish b'mitzvah? So here we have a very interesting machlokas in the Rishon. What does Rashi say here? V'hid the mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah. Shemotze beis sifrei Torah es liknos, v'echad hodem echavero, yosef shlish adam en v'ikach es ha'odem. V'tanya zekei livan ve'yu, hisna alafana b'mitzvahs. What's the case? If you have two sifrei Torah, or two estrogen, let's say, right in front of you, one is more hodder than the other, it's supposed to be mosif shlish b'damim to take the one that's more hodder. That's what Rashi says. So what does shlish b'mitzvah mean? Shlish of what? Shlish of what? Anyone? Shlish more in? Just say it again, I hear you.
It's the object.
Shlish, according to Rashi, shlish more in what? Value! Value, good. The value. The mitzvah is worth a certain amount, right? There's one Sefer Torah that's worth X amount. One Sefer Torah is worth, I don't know, $30,000, right? That's cheap, right? $30,000. So, and there's another Sefer Torah that's much more beautiful, and it's worth $40,000. So, you have to spend the extra shlish. Right? You have to spend the, according to Rashi, you have to spend the extra shlish to get the more beautiful Sefer Torah. Shlish in value, says Rashi. That's what Rashi seems to say. What is Taisa saying? Ad shlish b'mitzvah perish shimotza esra ke'egos k'mo sheshirah chachamim ve'echad gadol mimeno shlish yikneyo. If you find an esra that's gadol, that's how big? It's as big as an egos. It's actually machlokas tanoim, where the shir of an esra is ke'egos or kebetza. We passed him kebetza. It's interesting that Taisa gives the other shir. He says you find the minimum shir, and another esra is a third bigger than the smaller esra, than the smallest esra. Buy the bigger one. So according to Tosis, it seems like Behidah Mitzvah and Shlish Mitzvah is Shlish in size, not in value. A third bigger in size, not in value. Comes the Gaon in the Hagos Agro and Os Aleph and says, V'das Shar Poskim Kiperish Rashi. Most Poskim, most Rishon do not learn like Tosis. There's a function of size. but rather it's a function of value. Now, not that you have to be mosif in the size of the item, but rather that you're mosif in the value of the item. A third more value. And that's what the Rosh writes. The Rosh also learns like the Rashi. Hid a mitzvah, shlish b'mitzvah, in Simon Zion, in Matzah Esok, shu ro'i lotzis bo'shu ke'egos, Yosef shlish, liknos yofa mimenum. He gets you, he confuses you, because he mentions the egos. So, you know, you think he's going with Tosis, but that's not what he says. He says that you should be Mosif Shlish, be Mosif Shlish to buy the more beautiful one. Be Mosif Shlish, what does that mean? Be, you be Mosif Shlish. He doesn't mean that buy the Esrog that's bigger. He means you should be Mosif Shlish, be Mosif in value. You have an Esrog that's Ke'egos, that's the smaller shear. That's the kosher Esrog, that's the basic minimum shear, that's the default. And it's worth a certain amount of money. Dr. Rush, the hidden mitzvah, Shlish the mitzvah, means you're supposed to add a third in value. Supposed to add a third in value. He's learning more like Rashi than like Tosfos. Veloshia mechuyav liknos liknos esrog hayofa mimenu sheyimtze betosefa shlish al esrog shechafitz liknos. But not that you should have to buy the esrog that's more beautiful by a third than the esrog that you want to buy. Which parish is he coming to Bavorin? Which parish is he coming to disagree with? Rashi. He's like Rashi, but he's not like Rashi. Now, he's definitely not like Tosfos. Yeah, he mentions egos, but that's the similarity between the Rashi and Tosfos. There's no real similarity. Tosfos says that Behidah Mitzvah, Shlisha Mitzvah means that you have to buy an Esrog that's a third bigger than the basic minimum shear Esrog. The Rashi says, no, you have to buy an Esrog that's a third more in value than the basic Esrog. But don't tell me, he says, that the Hidda Mitzvah, Shlishma Mitzvah means that if you have two Esrog in front of you, they're both above the minimum shear. But one is more beautiful than the other, then you're Mechuy, and you wanted to buy the cheaper one. It's not that it's the minimum. Right? It's that these are the two Esrog. Yeah, you wanted to buy this one, but there's another one that's more beautiful, then you have to be Mosif, a Shlish, Behidda Mitzvah. That's not the Pshat. No, it's that you're being Mosif, a Shlish, more than the minimum. The minimum is a certain shear. Certain shear, which gives a certain value, says the Rashi. So you have to be Mosif, a third more than that value. But not like Rashi. Rashi seems to be saying that the cases where you have two Esrogim in front of you, and you're choosing between them, you want to buy the cheaper one, but there's another one that's more Mahuda, that's a third more. So comes Rabbi Zera and says, you have to buy the one that's a third more, because you have to be Mosif, the Hidden Mitzvah. Rashi says, that's not the Pshat. Why is that not the Pshat? Why is that incorrect? So the Papua Charifta says, well, because if that's correct, Ein Ladav Asof. Ein Ladav Asof, there's no end to it. What does he mean? It means that every time that you buy a nice Esrog, then if someone else shows you a nicer Esrog, you have to buy the nicer Esrog if it's a third more. It's not more than a third more. Right? Because if you're always talking about two different Esrogims, then you always have to be Mosif more and more. You know, if you're in an Esrog place, right, and they have 100 Esrogims, you were going to buy this Esrog, but then the Mocha shows you a more beautiful one. He says, okay, is it a third more? Okay, so I'll get that one. So he says, but maybe you should try this one. He says, okay, is it a third more than this one? Okay, so I'll take that one. You know, it can just keep on going, right? Keep on going. So it says the Rashi, that can't be the Pshat. So what's the Pshat B'das Rashi? What's Rashi then? It's going to keep on going according to Rashi as well. So how can Rashi say that that's the idea for the mitzvah? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Sharet Tzion quotes machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Vilna Gaon, what Pshat Rashi is. The Beis Yosef says that according to Rashi, we're talking about that you haven't bought anything. There are two Esrogim in front of you. Not that there are 50 Esrogim in front of you. There are two Esrogim in front of you. Or you're... Yeah. There are two Esrogim in front of you, and you're choosing between these two. If you haven't bought anything yet, so then you have to take the nicer one. But Rashi admits, Zokta Beis Yosef, Rashi admits if you've already bought the Esrog, then there's no Shiloh to talk about. Right? If someone brings you an Esrog later, you don't have to buy the next Esrog because of Hidden Mitzvah. Once you bought the Esrog, then it's over. But until you bought the Esrog, then you have to Cheshbon. It seems, according to Beis Yosef as well, that you wouldn't have to spend, you wouldn't have to keep on going up with the Meicher, right? If you wanted to buy the basic Esrog, then you have to spend the third more than the basic price. He can't keep on throwing more esrogim out and telling you to buy more and more, because there's the basic price also over there by that Moshe. But you'd have a havamina that even if I bought a nice esrog, if someone else then shows me a nicer esrog, I should have to buy the nicer ones. Is that the base sales? If no, once I bought the esrog, there's no chiv. The girl goes a little bit further than that. It says, no, even if a person bought the esrog, if someone shows a nicer esrog to him, if he can exchange the esrog, if he can give back the first esrog, then maybe he taka would be mechuyev to buy the next esrog according to Rashi, which is quite a chiddush, because then it really is closer to saying that ain ladav esof, because someone could always show you a nicer esrog. I mean, it's a big chiddush according to Rashi. Right, that it's somewhat of a limitless. It's not limitless because normally you can't get back the esrog. The Malacha is not going to take the first one back. But if the Malacha were to take the first one back, according to Rashi, Lefiva Vilna Gaon, you'd be mechuyev to exchange it, to give back the first one in order to get the nicer one, because it's only a third one. This is not the way that we pass it. This is Shitas Rashi, but the simpler pshat is the rush that we're talking about the value, and value above the minimum. The minimum is X. And above that minimum, if it's a third above, then you mechuyev to spend that for the hidden mitzvah. See, Tosis is Shita's Gora Chiddush, because according to Tosis, it sounds like this whole din, Rabbi Zera's whole din, that the hidden mitzvah, Shlish mitzvah, only applies to a mitzvah that there's a shir in the Cheftza. And we're talking about a Shlish greater than the minimum shir in the Cheftza. That's not true by all mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah has a shir in the Cheftza. Right? What, the Sefer Torah is going to be bigger? What does that mean? So according to the Tosis, it's really limited to very few mitzvahs. Esrog is clearly a shir. There are other mitzvahs also that have a shir. But it's not going to apply to all mitzvahs. According to the Rosh, it does apply, because there's always an issue of value. Is the minimum value of the mitzvah, and then there's a third more than the minimum value. So that's what Rabbi Zera is telling us, that you have to be willing to spend a third more for the hidden mitzvah. That's the Gemara. We still haven't defined what a shlish is. We're going to get to it. Mitzvah. The hidden mitzvah, shlish b'mitzvah. So once you read the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and you get past the Rajba and the Raivin and the basics, you first have to understand what you're reading. But once you get past the basics and you understand what's going on, so then naturally, the natural reaction is to plug it back into the Rosh Shabbos, right? Because it's still Chanukah. So naturally, you think, how does this relate to Chanukah? The problem is, it's a big kash on Chanukah. What does the Gemara Bava Kamma say? That you're only mechuyev to be mahadir a mitzvah until shlish b'mitzvah. So frek the Brisker Rav. See, most people don't get to this part of the Brisker Rav, because they're not learning Bava Kamma. So they're learning Hilchos Chanukah. So they talk about the Ramah and the Rambam, Reis Halevi argues with the Brisker Rav. You know the Shtickel Torah, right? That's what they talk about in the Brisker Rav. But if you survive till the last paragraph in the Brisker Rav, he plugs it into Bava Kamma. The Brisker Rav asks, if the hidden mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah, so why are we mahadir this in the Chanukah? That's more than shlish. It's more than shlish b'mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Chanukah is what? What's the basic mitzvah of the Chanukah? Ner ish, v'vaisa, one ner. One ner for each night. So if you're going to be mahadir, right, ner l'chol echad v'echad, that means that you're lighting more than one ner. Right, any hidden mitzvah in the Chanukah is lighting more than one ner. So that's already double the mitzvah. It's kefil the mitzvah. It's much more than a third. The basic mitzvah is to light one. So any hiddah that you're going to do, mahadrin, mina mahadrin, anything that you're going to do, it's all going to be more than one. It's going to be at least two. So it's always more than shlish b'mitzvah. So why is there ever a chiyuv to be mahadrin mitzvah chanukah? The Philip line. We spent 3 days discussing what's the din of hiddah mitzvah by Chanukah. But now it's a pella. Once you've seen the Gemara Bava Kamma, we push it, don't even know how to function. Why is there ever a mitzvah hiddah by ner Chanukah? It's always more than shlish. It's always more than shlish. So says the Brisker Rav, a tremendous chiddush. He thinks maybe taka the din of hidden mitzvah ben yachanek. There's only a rishus. It's not a chiyuv. And he says he thinks the Rabbeinu Chananel, both in Shabbos and in Bava Kamma, was mechaber to this. Rabbeinu Chananel in Shabbos, when he talks about mahadir ben yachanek, he says like this. Perish. Hamahadrin mahadrin mitzvahs kedaminan lehidda mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. Mahadrin by Ner Chanukah means mahadre mitzvahs kedaminan b'bava kama They hear the mitzvah, actually, it's been mitzvah. What does he have to quote the Gemara in Bava Kama for? What does Bava Kama give a Shabbos? Hey, the mitzvah. It's a Kedah on Veyu. You can quote the Gemara in Shabbos and have Kufa on the Gimel on the Beis. You snarl upon the mitzvahs. Why do you have to quote Bava Kama for? Okay, that's the Shir, but like, what's it doing here? After Brisky Rav, no. Rabbi Nachmanel is telling us a fundamental yisod. He's alluding to the Gemara in Bava Kama that says that you're only mechuyev to be mahadar a mitzvah until Shlish be mitzvah. But, as we'll see, more than Shlish be mitzvah, you can be mahadar a little bit more, right? More than shlish b'mitzvah, you can be mahadar until chomesh, right? Until chomesh, it's mutter. Right? You can be mahadar, but you're not mechuyev to be mahadar more than shlish. So, after Rabbi Nachmanel, that's the din of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is not a chiyev to be mahadar a mitzvah because at shlish b'mitzvah, and this is always going to be more than shlish, but there's a reshus. It might be an inyan. There's a reshus to be mahadar more than shlish. Tremendous chiddush. That's what the Brisker Rav says. You have to say it's a reshus because there's no chiyuv to be mahadar a mitzvah more than shlish. And he says that the Rebbe Nachmanel right here, Bava Kama Daf Tes, also alludes to the same idea. What does the Rebbe Nachmanel say? He's going on the last part of the Gemara, right? B'marava Ami Mishmed Reb Zeira, Ad Shlish Mishalom Mikam Ve'elach Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to get to it. But comes the Rebbe Nachmanel who says Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means it's not a chiv more than shlish. He says Avon zimin lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamad shalom yigiyo ubikesh lahadar hamitzah b'yosem shlish harshas b'yada. Okay, we'll discuss the details, but he's saying more than shlish there is a reshus to be mahadar hamitzah, but we'll discuss the details. If he made the money, wasn't through his effort, was through his effort. But he says there is a heter to be mahadah more than shlish. V'amahadah ha-mitzvah meshubach. And someone who's mahadah the mitzvah is meshubach. Meshubach? I thought there's a chiyah. No, if he's mahadah more than shlish, he's meshubach. That's a davar shel reshus, but he's meshubach. K'detanina v'ner chanukah v'amahadah ner l'chalecha v'echa v'amahadah min ha-mahadah v'chulei. Like we say by ner chanukah. If you're mahadah more than shlish, Harshus biyado, v'amahadar is a meshubach. Like we say by Ner Chanukah, that is a din of mahadrin. Well, what does Ner Chanukah have to do with Bava Kama? And why would you do the sugya of Ner Chanukah in the middle of learning Bava Kama? Can you imagine why someone would do that? Of course we do that. On Chanukah. But why is he mentioning this? Why is he mentioning Ner Chanukah when he talks about the Hidda Mitzvah? Zok the Risk Rav, it's Rabbeinu Chanan al-Shitasa. He holds that the Hidda Mitzvah by Ner Chanukah is a reshus. It's not a chiyuv because it's more than shlish. So he connects hider of more than shlish to Ner Chanukah. Because I know half, that's mamish to pshat. Halodavahu. Quite an interesting idea. Rabbi Nachmanel perhaps is alluding to this idea that the hider of Ner Chanukah is always a davar shel reshus. That's the minhag Yisrael. I mean, that's what the Mechaber and the Ramah pass. It's like, it's so strange. We pass in that you have to do the hider mitzvah. That's what it sounds like for the Mechaber and Ramah. Rabbi Nachmanel is saying, that's how we pass in. That's the minhag Yisrael. But you really don't have to do it. Rishus, it's a nice thing to do, but it's the davar shel reshus because it's more than shlish. And perhaps that's why he alludes to Ner Chanukah. He alludes to Ner Chanukah in the Gemara Bava Kama, and he alludes to the Gemara Bava Kama when he talks about Ner Chanukah in Shabbos. Others disagree. Others say there's a simpler answer to this kasha. What's the answer? The answer might be that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is different. You know why? Because there, here the mitzvah is part of the takana. You see, the Gemara Bava Kama is talking about where there's a mitzvah to do, but the idea of being mahadah the mitzvah, that's an extra halacha. It's like Haley Van Veyu tells me you're supposed to be mahadah the mitzvah more. But Ner Chanukah is totally different. The way the Gemara and Shabbos presents it, there are three levels. Three levels. And Hidda Mitzvah is part of the Ikar Takana. It's two parts of the Ikar Takana. So it could be that the mitzvah of Chanukah is totally different, even if it's more than shlish b'mitzvah. But that's a chelik of the ikar takana to be mahadah the mitzvah of Chanukah, right? And they say because the Chashmonaim wanted to be mahadah the mitzvah, right? They wanted to be mahadah the mitzvah, even though tumah is such a betzibra. They wanted to light with shemen torah. They wanted to be mahadah the mitzvah. So Chazal mesakein the mitzvah behida. That's a tosefis. That's not. You don't have to say that. But it's clear from the Gemara and Shabbos that Hidda Mitzvah is a chelik from the Ikar Takana. Because there's a shear in the Hidda Mitzvah. No one's telling you, this is the mitzvah. If you want to be Mahadah, look above a Kama and you'll see how much you have to do to be Mahadah the Mitzvah. That's not what the Gemara and Shabbos says. it describes what the hidden mitzvah is. It sounds like it's part of the Ikar Takana. It says part of the Ikar Takana, then it breaks the rules. It's not a function of the regular rules that the hidden mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah. No, by Ner Chanukah, there are rules of hidden mitzvah, even if it's beyond shlish b'mitzvah. Okay? And these are the two ways that you can answer the shayla from the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to the Gemara. So now we have to talk about what is shlish. Now that we keep on talking around the issue, let's discuss it. So that's the next part of the Gemara. Boyi Rav Ashi, shlish melagavo, shlish melabar, take. Ashi has a shayla, what is shlish mean? Is shlish melagav or shlish melabar? What does that mean? Is shlish melagav on the inside or is shlish on the outside? So that means, let's say you have a mitzvah, let's say you have an esrog that's worth $30. That's the base of shir. Shir, esrog of an egos or a kibetza, whatever, whichever shir it is. The value of the cheapest esrog, the esrog akasher, is $30, let's say. So the shayla here is shlish milagav, that means on the inside. Take a third from the value of the esrog and add on to it. Right, let's say you have an esrog. This doesn't look like an esrog, but right? Take a third of the value of the esrog, because we're working with the rush's pshat again, right? Not with ptosis, or the rush, it's a function of value, not size, right? So take a third of the value. The whole thing is worth 30, so a third of the value is 10. So add on another 10. That's the hither. The hither is to spend 40 for the esrog. That would be shlish milagav. Milagav means from the inside. Take from the inside of the value and add on to it. Milabar would mean after you add the shlish, it'll be a third. Right? After you add whatever you're adding, it'll be a shlish. What does that mean? Milabar, on the outside. Don't take anything from inside the esrog. Take something from the outside of the esrog. Right? Add on from the outside, not from the inside. The amount that you're adding on is not on the inside, it's from the outside. So that after you've added it on, now it's going to be a third. What does that mean? Well, it basically means a half. Whatever the first one explained, basically means a half. Right? If the esrog, divide the esrog into two parts, it's 15. So if you add a third on the outside, from the outside, not from the inside, right? Add a third to that, then the total, a third of the total is going to be 15, and that's what you added. A third of the total is what you're going to be adding. Shlish milagav means take a third of the original and add on to it, and add on to the original. Shlish milabar means add on from the outside. Add on so that a third of the total is going to be what you added, which really is a half. Not a third. So how do we paskin? Shlish milagav, shlish milabar. The mechaber paskin shlish milagav, right? That's the rush. The rush says that shlish milagav. Ad shlish milagav, kevet lo yivshita habaya. Since the Ibai is the Ibai of the Lohiv Shita, we haven't Tesafik in the Gemara, and we Paskin Teiku, so therefore, he says that we Paskin Shlish Milagav, because it's less. It's a third from the inside, not a half from the inside, so therefore we should Paskin that way. Zokta Pupula Harifta, why should we Paskin that way? Sveka the Reis Lachum, why should we Paskin that way? Zokta Pupula Harifta, the Oz Kuv, Kevit Lohiv Shita, the time of the Hidden Mitzvah Midrabban and the Lakula, Sveka the Rabban and the Lakula. Hidden mitzvah, the Rosh clearly is assuming, says the Papul Charifta. He's assuming hidden mitzvah is a din d'rabbanan. Zekei Levan Vei was a pasuk in Chumash, but that's not what Zekei Levan Vei means. It's part of the Shira. Chazal interpreted Zekei Levan Vei to mean that you're supposed to be mahad mitzvah. So that's a din d'rabbanan. So what's the Shir? The Shir is Lakula. Shlish Milagav, because the din of Spekid Rabban Lakula should tell me that I should go Lakula in this Shir. That's what the Rosh says. And this idea that hidden mitzvahs are the Rabbanan, those who were in the shir last year in Sukkah, we spent time on this, the Ritva in Sukkah, writes explicitly that hidden mitzvah is only the Rabbanan. He has a raya from the Gemara. We're not going to get to it because we don't have the time for it. But the Ritva also echoes the similar sentiment that, as the Rosh says, that hid the mitzvah is only the Rabbanan, so in the stomach he would paskin as well. The Tzveka, the Rabbanan Lakula, we paskin Shlish Milagaf. Rabbeinu Hananel, on the side of the Daf, on the Gilyan, he disagrees. He says that Rav Ashi has a suffix with a Shlish Milagaf, Shlish Milabar, Ve'olsa B'teku, Ve'avdina L'chumra Milabar. Avdina L'chumra Milabar. The Rosh says the Kula, Rabbeinu Hananel says L'chumra. Why should he say L'chumra? What kind of a strange notion is that? Sveik the Rabbanan Lakula, so why should I say L'chumra? Rabbi Hananel clearly is assuming the hidden mitzvah is a deraisa. He's thinking it's a deraisa. It's lechora what he's assuming. That's why he says that you should go lechora. Some point out that the emesis, the Rosh, really could hold that hidden mitzvah is a deraisa. Even the Rosh could hold that it's a deraisa. How do you think? But he says that in a suffix we go lechora. How could the Rosh hold that it's a deraisa? Yes.
The series.
Exactly, Donnie. Very good. The Rosh could hold the Keli Vandai was a pasuk in Chumash. Okay, it's not the pshuto shall make of a Chazal darshan it. So they hold it's a deraisa. So what's the so how can he be makel over here in the suffix? Because this is a suffix in Shir. It's a suffix in the Shir. The Shir might only be the Rabban. The fact that there's an inyan to do hidden mitzvah, yom mechuyav to do hidden mitzvah, that could be deraisa. But maybe a mashu. Shlish? Vushtet shlish. It says shlish in Pasuk? Zakeli van shlish? That it doesn't say. So maybe the shir is a drabonon. Shir is only the drabonon, the fact that you have to do shlish. So on that, you have a suffix, whether it's shlish melagav or shlish melabar, and there the Rosh says, it's fake drabonon lakul, it should tell me that you could be made. But Ben Chananel must hold that the din of hidden mitzvah is a din daraisa. And the Chachamim are koveya what that din daraisa is. So you can't say that the shir is only the Rabbana. The Pasuk gives the koach to the Chachamim to be koveya what the shir is. So maybe even the shir should be viewed like a daraisa. And therefore, if you have a suffix in the shir, you should have to be machmir in the shir. Okay, this is the Machlokas Rishonim as to whether hidden mitzvah is a daraisa or is it only the Rabbana. And finally, we have the last part of the Gemara. The Marav Ami Mishmed Reb Zera Shlish Mishalom Mikam Ve'elach Mishel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ad shlish mishalom. Kanda elech mishal hakadosh baruch. What does that mean? Ad shlish b'mitzvah is mechuyav to be mosif until shlish, and then hakadosh baruch is mechuyav to be mosif after that. Well, what do the words mean? So Rashi says, ad shlish mishalom. Dahainu also shlish yosef b'hidim mitzvah mishalohu sheino nifer lo b'chayim. When a person pays for the hidim mitzvah ad shlish, he's not going to get paid back in his lifetime. He has to pay for the mitzvah. Hayom lasosam. Mochel kabel schara, he's not going to get paid by olam hazeh. Mikan ve'elach, mashi yosef behidu yosef al shlish, yifren lo hakadosh baruch hu v'chayev. But what he spends more on the mitzvah, more than shlish, until a fifth, right? He's allowed to spend until a fifth. What he spends more on the mitzvah, hakadosh baruch hu is going to pay him back v'chayev. That's the chilah between ad shlish until more than shlish. Clearly, it's a rishus, right? Rashi doesn't say that you're mechuyev to spend more than shlish. It sounds like you're only mechuyev at shlish. But what you spend at shlish, that you're not going to be paid back the chayev. But what you spend more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. And that's how Tosis seems to learn as well. Mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ohol Peres Balam Hazeh, V'Kan Kayam Eslo, Lo'olam Abo. More than shlish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to even pay him back Ba'olam Hazeh. He'll eat the Peres Ba'olam Hazeh. Rabbi Nachanan learns differently. That's the Rabbi Nachanan that we were alluding to before we started. Quotes two pshatim that are very similar, but the second one has a nuance of difference. He adds a little point there. Ad shlish, Amri, ad shlish mishalo klama muzar hu liznos mitzvah shlish mikam ve'elach im mosif yaser al shlish midi yaseira. Someone who's mosif more than shlish, it's a midi yaseira. Ve'ena kodesh baruch mekapei aschara el mishalim lagemulo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to take away his schar. He'll give him his gmul. He'll pay him back. What's he saying? The difference between ad shlish until more than shlish is whether one is muzer, one is mechuyev, or it's only a rishus. Ad shlish is muzer, mikan ve'elech. That's a midi yaseira, that's a rishus, it's not a chiyev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him back. The key is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him back. The key is that he's not mechuyev, Rabbi Nachman says. Now, from his effort, he's making a living from the money that he earns from his effort, so then he's not mechuyev to spend more than shlish. Shechayev kodmim lehidah mitzvah. His life comes before the hidah mitzvah. But let's say a person had a windfall. HaKadosh Baruch was mezamein money to the individual. He had an investment. He had a Yerusha. It wasn't his effort. He got money without his effort. And let's say he wants to be mahader the mitzvah more than shlish. Dr. Gemara, he's allowed to do that. Then it's a rishus. The first pshat, Rabbi Nachmanal just says, yes, a mishlish is a rishus. But in the second pshat, he adds that if it's migio, then yes, a mishlish chayev kodmin. He's not chayev if it's migio. Because chayev kodmin lehid a mitzvah. But it's, if HaKadosh Baruch was zimin lo mamon, shalom migio, so then what? Sounds like then Harshus biyado, he says, beferish. It's only a rishus. So it sounds like harshus biyado, if zimin lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom migiyo, and if it's migiyo, b'yesem ishlish what? If it's migiyo, he's not allowed to add more than shlish. That's what it sounds like. It's not allowed to add more than shlish. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezamin lo shalom migiyo, then harshus biyado to add. That's the rishus. But if it's migiyo, then he's not allowed to add more than shlish. That's what Rabbi Nachman seems to say, according to the second pshat. The question is why? Why can't he do what he wants? Okay, it's a beautiful thing to do. It's a mysterious nefesh. But why shouldn't he be able to do that? What if he gets a windfall? So then, rishus biyado, he's allowed to add on. And if it's migil, he's not allowed to add on. That's a big and mysterious nefesh. It's great. I mean, It's still his money. Harshus biyado. So he earned the money. If he earned the money, he can do with the money what he wants, right? So he's doing a good thing with it. He's not spending his money frivolously. But Rabbi Nachman sounds like if it's migio, he's not allowed to spend more than a shlish. Why? There's a reason he gives. Two words. What's the reason he's not allowed to spend more than a shlish? Chayev kodmin. What does that mean? Okay, chayev kodmin, but he wants to spend for the mitzvah. What's the big deal? He also quotes the Ramah, who adds just a little bit, and it could be Rabbi Nachman is mechavin to this Ramah, really having this Ramah in mind. He also from Davdalad Amad Aleph, he says, "At shlish mishelo klomar tzorech lahosif shlish migio, v'dochek es chayev kedei lahadir sa mitzvah." A person's mechuyev until shlish b'mitzvah to be dochek es chayev, to make it a little bit difficult. He really wanted money to spend for his necessities, for his needs. Okay, so he's not going to have everything that he needs, but he'll live. He'll be able to function appropriately. He has to be dochek es chayev for until shlish. He can't ve'elech m'shlish v'mala im zimin l'arkodesh baruch l'mam shalom egiyo Yosef v'mlav chayev kodnin v'dayo b'tosev v'shlish. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezamein him a windfall, then what? Then Yosef, he says. Yosef sounds like he should. Rabbi Chanan says it's a rishus. Yosef says, Yosef, he should be most of even more than shlish. But if not Chayav Kodman, what does the Chayav Kodman mean? He's connecting to what he said before. That Tzarek Lahos of Shlish Megiyo V'dochek is Chayav. We're talking about someone whose Chayav is the Chukim. It's hard for him. He doesn't have so much money to spend. Talk to Nemukah Yosef. Less than shlish, you have to push yourself a little bit. Even if chayev dechukim. But if it's more than shlish, so then you're mechuyev to spend. But more than shlish, if it's shalom migio, so then even more than shlish, perhaps it's a mitzvah to spend. But if it's migio, you're not mechuyev to spend more than shlish. And you're not supposed to spend more than shlish, he says. Why? Because chayev are going to be dechukim if he spends more than shlish. That's the case. We're talking about that chayev is going to be dechukim. That he's going to make it difficult to live. He's going to make it difficult for himself. So maybe taka more than shlish. If it's migio, he's not mechuyev to spend. Shalom migio. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a windfall. So then perhaps more than shlish, there might be a mitzvah to spend. And then he quotes the Ramah, who says that if he's an Osher, even Migio, he also might have a mitzvah to spend, like the Ran. Like the usher perhaps should spend more than a shlish, because if he has the ability to do it, maybe the taka isn't in need to spend more than shlish. To spend more than shlish, if chayav d'chukim, maybe you're not supposed to spend more than shlish. Person's not supposed to, you know, buy something extravagant, even if it's for a mitzvah. If chayav are going to be d'chukim as a result, if it's going to be more than shlish. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezamin something for the person, he has a windfall, it's shalom yigiyo, then perhaps even more than shlish, he should spend for the money. And as well, if a person is an usher, then maybe there is room, there is a reason to spend a little bit more, even if it's more than shlish, to spend more for the mitzvah, because he can afford it and it's not gonna cramp his living. Right? It's not gonna cramp his life too much, so therefore the usher should spend more than shlish for the difference.